Now broadcasting in English.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's weekend program with me, Jan Wellinger. Ahead in today's show, we'll be featuring quotes and answering questions in another edition of Mailbox. We'll also have many consolation wishes from you on the death of Václav Havel last month. That'll be followed by a new edition of Czech Life, in which we talk to the Czech Republic's best-known board game designer, Vlage Chvákil. And we'll round out the program with a special edition of From the Archives with David Vaughan, a particularly fascinating episode because it features interview segments from the 1960s with both playwright Václav Havel and author Josef Škvorecký, who many noted died within roughly 3 weeks of each other, so a huge loss for Czechs and Czech literature. So we'll have that as a kind of commemorative segment. Before we get to that, though, we continue now with Pavla Harákova and Mailbox.
Hello and welcome to the first edition of Mailbox of 2012. First, let me thank you for all those lovely Christmas and New Year's greetings from all over the world. It's good to know that you have remained faithful to Radio Prague and still keep in touch. We were also touched by the many letters of condolence on the death in December of the former President Václav Havel. For example, Mary Lou Krennic, our regular follower in Texas, wrote,
"It was sad to hear of the death of President Václav Havel this morning. The world and the Czech Republic have lost a great man. My only regret is that I was not able to meet him. Maybe the Nobel Committee will award the Nobel Peace Prize to him posthumously. He led Czechoslovakia and now the Czech Republic into the 21st century with vision and grace. He was a beacon of peaceful dissent for all of the dissident movements around the world. May God bless his family, friends, and country in this time of mourning."
Alan Laudell wrote from the U.S. state of Delaware,
"I can't recall the death of another world leader that brought me to tears as the passing of Václav Havel. He so transcended most world leaders, an incredible moral visionary. I realize Mr. Havel was tarnished some by his time in politics. That would have been inevitable. But his legacy will endure and continue the line of Gandhi, Mandela, and other 20th century giants. I trace half my ethnic roots to the Czech Republic, and Havel truly made me proud to be part Czech American. May Havel's spirit continue to live."
Jana Zimmer also follows us in the United States.
"As a Czech-born American, I have respected and admired Václav Havel for all my adult life. I wish I were in Prague right now so I could stand with the Czech people to pay my respects. This virtual condolence will have to substitute. Havel was surely one of the greatest human beings of the 20th century. The world needs so many more like him."
Andy Martinuk, Radio Prague's listener since 1984 from Moscow, Russia, wrote,
"Please accept my sincere condolence on the death of Václav Havel. He was a real democrat and a devoted human rights fighter. I mourn with you."
Thank you very much for those messages of sympathy as well as your comments regarding our recent broadcasts. Now on to our regular mailbox business. It's time to look at your answers to our December Mystery Check quiz question. Bibi Shah writes from Pakistan,
"This month's personality is St. John of Nepomuk, a national saint of the Czech Republic, who was drowned in the Vltava River at the behest of Wenceslaus, king of the Romans and king of Bohemia."
Jarosław Jędrzejczak from Poland adds,
"As you know, John of Nepomuk was dropped from the Charles Bridge into the Vltava River. This scene is depicted in a relief placed on the altar of John of Nepomuk in the Church of St. Nicholas of Myra in the Polish town Bochnia near Krakow."
Caitlin Brown from the United States wrote,
There are a number of stories and theories about the real reason for the death and canonization of John of Nepomuk. Details aside, ultimately it appears that the clash between secular and religious authorities, potentially for political gain, is at the root of it. An animated version of the John of Nepomuk story was featured in May in the webcomic The Sorrowful Puto of Prague, which Radio Prague brought to my attention with an interview with its creator, James Stafford. Thanks for always keeping me updated.
Colin Law from New Zealand writes,
Veneration of St. John of Nepomuk spread rapidly, and the oldest statue on Charles Bridge was erected near the location where he was thrown into the river. There are now some 70 similar statues in Prague, and eventually over 30,000 statues were erected on bridges all over Europe. The mortal remains of St. John of Nepomuk are located in the St. Vitus Cathedral.
Charles Kunesny from the United States wrote,
Here was a priest faithful to the teachings and tenets of the Catholic Church and who, under the threat of death, would not betray his sacrament of holy orders. So did King Wenceslas of Bohemia, not to be confused with good King St. Wenceslas, have John tortured and thrown into the Vltava River because he appointed the archbishop's abbot, or because he would not reveal the queen's confession, or, as some say, was it a combination of both? But whatever the reason, he suffered a cruel, horrible death, and because of all he endured, he was canonized a saint, to be forever known as St. John of Nepomuk, martyr of the confessional. He is also the patron saint of Bohemia, patron of silence and floods. It is fitting that the oldest statue on Charles Bridge is that of St. John of Nepomuk. Go touch it for luck.
Jonathan Murphy from Ireland writes,
The saint's name is St. John of Nepomuk. I am always amazed to see his statue as I travel in Central and Eastern Europe. He is certainly very popular. As the patron saint for protection from floods, his statue is placed on many bridges.
And Mary Lou Krennick from Texas wrote,
Five stars hovered in the sky over the place he was drowned. The water had a strange, shining appearance. This helped people find his body. His body was taken from the Vltava River and interred in the cathedral in Prague. After 3 centuries and much controversy, he was beatified in 1721 and canonized in 1729. St. John Nepomuk is the patron saint of Bohemia and the patron of confessors against calamities, bridges, and because of the manner of his death against floods. St. John Nepomuk is portrayed in art as an Augustinian canon with a fur cape, usually with a bridge nearby. He may hold his finger to his lips. He may also hold a padlock to his lips and has 5 stars around his head. It is considered good luck to touch a statue.
Many thanks for your interesting and well-researched answers. This time the prize goes to Caitlin Brown from the United States. Congratulations, and those of you who haven't been lucky have another chance this month. Our January mystery man is the Moravian-born Austro-Hungarian architect whose major works can be found in Brno, Vienna, Prague, as well as Paris, and who became famous for his ideas expressed in the essay Ornament and Crime. Please send us his name to english@radio.cz by the end of January. We'll be looking forward to your answers as well as reception reports and comments. Until next time, goodbye.
Mailbox with Pavla Horáková brings us to today's main feature, which is another edition of Czech Life, this time looking at the career and success of the Czech Republic's best-known board game designer, Vlage Chvákil. When it comes to game designers, you'd be hard-pressed to find one more successful in recent years than the Czech Republic's Vlage Chvákil. 6 years or so ago, the Brno-based designer made his mark with the Civilization board game called Through the Ages, and since he has produced a slew of successes, including titles like Space Alert, where players have to cooperate aboard a space vessel in trouble, to his newest game, released by the U.S. company WizKids, called Mage Knight. It's a niche hobby, but within it, the designer has earned international recognition and success. As a student, Kvakil studied computer programming, and his thesis project was a computer game design. As a professional, it's no surprise then that he first made his mark in the video games market. But the drive to design board games, he says, was always there, projects he came up with for kids in what was the equivalent of a local scout chapter. The Brno Games Club, which goes back 20 years or so, has also always been a touchstone for projects, then and today, where new games are tried and tested by the designer, acquaintances and friends. Vlaga Kvakil himself told me more on a line from Brno.
For me, the Brno Games Club is very important. It is a place where I meet with people that play games with my friends, and it is much more fun to create games for people I know to see their reactions and so on. That's for me personally, definitely, it's important.
In hobby gaming, there are two main schools of design, so-called Euros, games with shorter playing times and shorter rule sets that emphasize strategy over luck, and the American school, or Ameritrash, as it has come to be known in recent years, offering more complex narratives, longer rules and play times, and more immersive play. An example of a now classic Euro would be Germany's answer to Monopoly, The Settlers of Catan, which has sold more than 15 million copies worldwide since 1995 and has been translated into 30 languages. A famous American school title, though designed by Italian designers, might be War of the Ring, where Tolkien's hobbits make the difficult way to the land of Mordor while hordes of plastic armies of orcs and trolls sweep across the board. In terms of design styles, Vlaga Kvakil admits he falls somewhere in between, combining elements of both.
I am kind of between these two directions, or two styles. I am not the only designer that is between them. I think that these two styles are influencing each other, and it is visible that new Ameritrash games have much more Euro mechanics, but I'm going a bit different way, because instead of adding Euro mechanics to American games or American style games, I am rather incorporating the rich theme and maybe some bigger complexity to Euro games. I like indirect interaction. Yeah, the goal for a player has to be to do actions that he benefits from, not actions that screw other players. That's, for me, much more positive type of interaction than just, now I will attack him and destroy his building or something like this.
Kvakil, as a designer, often relies on fantasy or science fiction themes for his games, and the reason is not just because they are popular among game geeks.
I always try to have a theme in the game very strong, and because I want the players to have some unique experience when playing the game, I always try in my games that the players can immerse into the game world. You can do something very epic. It is very difficult to do a game about conquering countries or exploring countries in our real setting, because all is explored here and so on, and you have to stick to historical facts. Fantasy or science fiction allows you to tailor the setting exactly to your needs and to the desired game format.
Creating intricate games, which can take anywhere from 1 to 4 hours to play, requires numerous skills, in which an understanding of mathematics and statistical probabilities doesn't hurt. Games can present simple to increasingly complex situations where players have to make both entertaining but also tricky choices. The narrative may be simple on paper and may play smoothly, such as an adventure in a fantasy world traveling through the land and gaining knowledge and power, like in Mage Knight, not unlike World of Warcraft Online. But the implementation is what can take many different forms, all of which have to balance out and have to be tested relentlessly. When it comes to concrete designs, creating a coherent world with its own consistent internal logic is no easy task. And after that, there are many hundreds of hours of playtesting among different groups before the game is released. Vlaga Kvakil again.
Well, it is usually a big relief, because, and it is the same with the video gaming industry and gaming industry, when you are creating a game, it is different from creating other products, because you can always improve it. Yeah, you can always make it a bit better. And this leads to the fact that you are working on it to the very last minute, trying to do it as good as possible. And it has to go to printer this morning, and it is 5 o'clock at morning, and we still are changing some small details on the game and so on, and in the texts. And there are several sleepless nights because of that. And when then the game goes to printer and you can say, done, yeah. then you see, I usually am a bit afraid for sometimes, because as you have said, my games are rather complex, and I always have some feeling, okay, maybe I went too far this time and people won't buy it, and people consider this too complex and so on. And then first reaction appears, and if they are positive, then I am really relieved that it worked again. And when some enthusiastic response appears, that I say, okay, these many hundreds of hours and sleepless night were worth it.
At 40, Kvakil is not just a designer. He is also the co-founder of the successful Czech publisher Czech Games Edition, which has released a number of his own games, but also titles by newer up-and-coming talents. Still, he himself isn't giving up design anytime soon. He's always enjoyed making games for people to play. In recent years, as more and more innovative designs have emerged, and as some colleges and universities offer game design now in their curriculum, it has also become a common discussion in game forums to scope whether games can be art. Certainly there are elements that the two share, aesthetics and presentation, from cover art to card and board illustration, and also there are narrative elements. Kvakil, though, sees games design more as craft. For him, there's at least one important distinction.
That really depends on how you define the word art. For me, games are more, let's say, craft with some artistic maybe aspects. I believe that commonly perceived meaning of art is that it goes from some inner needs of the artist, yeah, and he express something he wants to express. The fact that people then like it and admire it is not necessarily not the primary target. While when I am talking about this creative craft, what I am doing is to think about my audience in the first place. So I am trying to do games that people will like. And I think that's not what's exactly called art with the capital A. It is definitely creative work. I think you can do art just because you want to create art, and you need to create art, and to ignore whether someone will like it or not, but it is not the case of board games.
Vlage Kvakil has come a long way since his title Through the Ages, a civilization-building board game that was inspired by Sid Meier's famous video game, which made headlines in gaming circles and won numerous awards and accolades. Although he says he has other designs he favors, this is probably the one that made the biggest difference in terms of his career, and it also helped put Czech game design on the map. Vlage Kvakil again.
If you publish successful game and a game that players appreciate, then you get recognized by them, and they are curious what next you will do, and you have much more opportunities. And also, it was, I believe, very good that it was published by a company named Czech Board Games, because it also make a Czech Republic visible as a country that can produce games. And it was really nice to read when next year we went to Essen Show, the biggest board game fair in Europe, to read, I'm curious what those crazy Czechs created again, and so on.
Since then, other designers like Vladimir Suchý, author of Last Will, and Jiří Mikuláš, author of Space Bastards, have joined the growing number of names from the Czech Republic to watch, and Vlaga 2 remains one of the best. Just this week, his latest title, Mage Knight, was named Game of the Year by Gameshark.com, and it would be surprising if it didn't make additional best-of lists. You've been listening to Czech Life, this time focusing on the work and success of Vlaga Chvakil, the Czech Republic's best-known game designer. And my thanks goes out to him again for taking time to talk to us here at Radio Prague. That brings us to our final portion for this show, From the Archives with David Vaughan.
By the mid-1960s, political control over many aspects of cultural and social life in Czechoslovakia had relaxed considerably. This was the height of the new wave in Czechoslovak cinema. In theatre, socialist realism had long gone out of fashion. And in music, the swinging 60s were already well underway. But it wasn't just through the music it was playing that Czechoslovak radio tried to keep pace with the changes. One program that broke the traditional mold and was launched in 1966 was called The 33 Questions of Marcel Proust. These were questions that the French novelist had compiled in the belief that by answering them, you could better understand your inner self. In the program, a well-known personality would answer questions based on Proust's list. One of those invited was a gifted young writer, whose first plays had caused quite a stir at Prague's Theatre on the Balustrade. He was none other than Václav Havel, and here he is answering some of the questions as posed by the actor Josef Langmiller.
K jakým chybám jste nejschovívavější?
Which mistakes are you most willing to tolerate?
K těm, na které nedoplácejí druzí.
Those which others don't end up paying for.
Jakou barvu máte nejraději?
What's your favorite color?
Nevím, snad červenou.
I'm not sure, maybe red.
Jakou květinu?
Which flower?
Nezdá se mi, že jsme oprávněni hodnotit takto výtvory přírody.
I don't think we are entitled to evaluate natural objects in that way. Each flower knows why it's the color it is and not another color. Each one has its own beauty. And the meaning of that beauty is hidden to us.
Krásu svého vlastního nám neznámého smyslu.
Které ze zvířat a ptáků?
Which animals and birds?
No zde platí to též.
The same applies.
Vaše oblíbená jména?
Your favorite names?
Od dětství se mi líbí jména Eliška a Václav. To druhé ne, protože je nosím, ale...
Since childhood I've liked the names Eliška and Václav. In the case of the second, it's not because it's my own name, but rather because Saint Václav has always been a favorite of mine.
Spíš asi proto, že mi vždycky býval svatý Václav sympatický.
Které prozaiky čtete nejraději?
Your favorite prose writers?
No, různé, například Kafku.
Well, there are several. Kafka, for example. So those were Václav Havel's answers. Some food for thought there for scholars of Havel's work, delivered in his familiarly gravelly tones. Another celebrated Czech writer who took part was the novelist Josef Škvorecký. He delivered his answers in deadpan tones, with a morbid sense of humour.
Co by pro vás bylo největším neštěstím?
What would be the worst thing that could happen to you?
Znova se narodit.
To be born again.
Čím byste chtěl být, kdybyste se znovu narodil?
What would you like to be if you were born again?
Nechtěl bych se znovu narodit.
I wouldn't like to be born again.
Vaše životní heslo?
Your motto in life?
Memento mori.
Memento mori.
Jak byste chtěl umřít?
How would you like to die?
Prenatálně.
Prenatally.
Kterým darem přírody byste chtěl být obdařen?
Which gift of nature would you like to possess?
Cynismem.
Cynicism.
Na čem právě teď pracujete?
What are you working on at the moment?
Právě nepracuji.
I'm not working.
Co vás k této práci přivedlo?
What led you to this work?
Příliš mnoho práce.
Too much work. So that was Josef Škvorecký. The series was immensely popular and ran for 2 years. 1 year after that, in August 1968, Warsaw Pact troops occupied Czechoslovakia.
From the archives with David Vaughan, this time featuring segments from the late Václav Havel and Josef Škvorecký, who died just this week. A huge loss for Czechs and for Czech literature. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's program, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. And don't forget, you'll find more news and stories at our website, www.radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for joining us, and take care.
vous écoutez Radio Prague.